and
we'll put money, we'll take bets on that.
We need just five?
Well, you're down to eight.
We're down to eight, so...
Until May, because Ann can't vote.
Right, with her internship, so...
So really you need five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just need one more.
One more person.
Maybe someone will walk in.
Yeah.
I feel them coming.
I hope so. Yeah, ready when you are.
Should we go ahead and get started so we're being respectful of...
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order for our March 2nd Henderson County Environmental Advisory Committee meeting. We have a couple of guests today with us. We have Phyllis speaking to us about Bee City. She's been with us before. It's been a couple years ago, back before we became a Bee City and county. And we also have Mike Huffman from the city. You guys, if you've been to the ESB meetings, you've seen Mike there, keeping them those folks in line. That's right. Does anyone have any additions or discussion about the agenda we have? It's mostly just old business today we're focusing on. All right. Without further ado, we'll bring Phyllis up to give us some updates on Pollinator Week. Basically, what we're trying to figure out is how do we get involved, get the county excited about Pollinator Week coming up in June this year.
Okay, how's this work? Well, thank you all for inviting me back. It was really exciting to have that initial meeting with you a couple of years ago and then to have the follow-up of Hendersonville becoming a Bee City. And very recently, Blue Ridge Community College became a Bee Campus USA. Wow. So double reason to be excited. So as I understood it from Kimberly and from Rachel, you just wanted some updates about what's going on with Pollination Celebration this year, because we do that every year in honor of National Pollinator Week. And we ask that each of our Bee City and Bee Campus affiliates have at least one annual awareness event, and we suggest that it be during National Pollinator Week, the first third full week of June. And but you know, not everybody celebrates National Pollinator Week that week. They can do it anytime they want. Some choose to do it during Arbor Day or Earth Day times. So that's a good format too. And frankly, in June, it's not the best time to be planting things. So if you want to make at a time to plant pollinator gardens in the spring or in the fall are actually better times to do that sort of stuff. But communities aren't limited to just one event a year, and we know that our affiliates, whether they're cities or campuses, are having events throughout the year, all kinds of educational and habitat creation events. So let me get going with this little PowerPoint here. I want you to notice that on the logo, where we have one city at a time, I just added "and county" in red, because we do use Tree City USA as a model. We pattern ourselves in many ways after them, and they started accepting counties a while back, even though the name says Bee City USA. And so we have our first example of that in Anne Arundel County, Maryland. So counties are invited to apply for a Bee City USA affiliation. Here are our commitments. Very, very briefly, you have to have a standing committee. This one would make a fine committee. You have to have your elected body adopt a resolution formally, and you have to complete an application. Once you are certified, you have to have at least one street sign at a prominent location. You have to have a web page that tells everybody that you have become an affiliate of Bee City USA, and it should talk about your committee, when they meet, your activities, that sort of thing. Your annual event, everybody's required to have at least one annual event to raise awareness or to increase habitat. And lastly, everybody's required to annually renew and to report on what they accomplished in the previous year. When we first started Bee City USA, there were no fees associated with it, but we have started charging modest fees that are based on population size. It's a sliding scale so that we can try to sustain the program into the future, but it's very modest. So here are the cities that we have today. And you can see we're all over the country so far. We're in, I think we just hit our 26th state between B Campus and B City. And they're all sizes. We go from something as large as Seattle and San Francisco and Washington, D.C., down to, I think there's one in there that only has 1,000 people. I mean, so. Yeah. I wonder if it is the one in Wyoming. Which one is that, Gillette?
16.
Yeah. Hell's Corners is pretty small. I don't know if it's the smallest one. Are you familiar with Hell's Corners?
No, just Wyoming has no population.
Right. Oh, well, Hell's Corners, that's Wisconsin. So Gillette, Wyoming. I'm sorry, what am I saying? But don't you just love that picture of that bee? It's so wonderful that we now have iPhones and you can just flash and flash and flash and flash your camera and you might get something really wonderful. And so that's what I did that day. I just kept taking pictures and pictures and pictures. And when I saw them afterwards, I went, oh my gosh, look at this picture.
Now, is that place in Texas, were they already called Beeville?
Yes, and their county is Bee County, okay. And it's named after a man whose last name was Bee.
Oh,
huh.
How perfect.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Bee Campus USA. We only started that in 2015 at the urging of Southern Oregon University. They said they would help us get it started, and they helped us figure out what the commitments would be. And so you can see that there are a little bit, it's a little bit more complicated than a city. We insist that you have to have a pollinator habitat and IPM plan to be a Bee Campus. You have to get your service learning program involved. You have to have at least one course or one continuing education workshop offered at least once every 2 years, and it can be on, you know, a wide variety of topics, from everything from alternatives to pesticides to pollinator ecology to landscaping for pollinators, you name it. You have to have some educational signage, and that can be permanent or temporary, and then the rest is the same as Bee City. So there's one of our Bee campuses, UNC Asheville. And they built a Bee Hotel last summer, which was really cool, and it was a great learning experience for them and for the architecture students who designed and built it. And there you see our list of campuses that are on board so far, and we're just so proud to have Blue Ridge Community College on that list. All right, so let's talk about Pollinator Week. Last year, this is what Pollinator Week looked like in Hendersonville, and I have this information thanks to Kim Bailey and the Tree Board and the Environmental Advisory Board. They just do such a great job of publicizing and reporting with the help of Mary Jo Paget. And so you can see that there was a lot of participation, a lot of collaboration. And this is really a dream come true for us. This is our philosophy, that the point of being a Bee City or a Bee Campus affiliate is not that a handful of people on a committee do all the work. That committee's role is to inspire the community to change their paradigm of how they think about landscaping and to become PC, pollinator conscious. So here's a look at what you all did last year. There were 9 events, and I won't read them to you, but it was a very, very rich week in Hendersonville with a lot of different organizations hosting events. And the Tree Board actually helped us pay for our keynote speaker, Heather Holm, who was at the North Carolina Arboretum, and that was a joint event between Asheville and Hendersonville. That's the second half of the schedule. And it's great to see the Beekeepers Association getting involved and Carolina Mountain Land Conservancy, Mountain True, the Green River Preserve, Historic Johnson Farm. You know, it just doesn't get any better than that. All these groups recognize the importance of pollinators. Okay, so both Hendersonville and Asheville have decided that we tried to do too much in 1 week. We taxed our media, we taxed our participants, we taxed our volunteers, just too much. And so rather than saying, okay, we're only going to do 3 events, we said, well, let's just spread them out over a month. So both of us are going to do that this year. And when you're looking at having a pollinator week or pollinator month, you've got to think about who's going to host the events, what kind of, you know, which organizations, how are you going to promote the events, and what kind of programs you're going to have that are going to be both entertaining and educational, and then who's going to sponsor those events if there are costs involved. And so this comes back to Kimberly's initial question about, you know, how can we get businesses more involved in Pollinator Week, or in this case, Pollinator Month. And so I thought the first thing you want to ask yourself is, what do you need money for? If you're going to ask businesses to support you financially, what are you going to use the money for? One of our biggest costs has always been the printing. And so you have in front of you the flyer that we used, the rat card that we used to promote last year's Pollinator Week in Asheville. And Hendersonville had a promotional thing, too. And I wish I had it with me, but unfortunately I don't have a copy of that. So printing is something that can add up. If you want to do some projects, be they during Pollinator Week or any other time of the year, you might want to have some money for that. You might want to have a coordinator. That could take some money. You might want to buy some plants. You might need some tools, educational materials, especially if you're working with kids and you're doing pollinator walks or whatever. You might want to do craft projects. You might want to have bug catchers, some transportable microscopes, some identification books, those sorts of things. Interpretive signage for pollinator habitat is a wonderful thing. People need to understand why you chose the plants that you did, why you're leaving some places kind of muddy, why you're not using mulch, why you're letting that stubble stand there all through the fall and winter when a lot of people want to cut it down and make it look nice and neat. If you tell people that those things are important for sustaining pollinators throughout the year, then they'll start to adopt those habits too in their own yard. And so that interpretive signage is incredibly important. If you're going to have a web page or a separate website, you might need some money to do that. And then speakers like Heather Holm are not inexpensive. She was from Minnesota. I think by the time it was all said and done, it was over $2,000 to have Heather Holm here. So, you know, those kind of costs do add up. So when you're thinking about business sponsorships, I don't want to insult anybody. You've probably done this before, so I'm probably not telling you anything new. But when you're thinking about the businesses that you want to invite to be a sponsor, you're looking for win-win, somebody who has some commonality with the topic or the event. You know, for example, we had Clay Bolt come 2 or 3 years ago and speak, and he's a very well-known wildlife photographer and has done extensive work on documenting pollinators. And so we got the Carolina Nature Photography Association involved with that. They hosted him. And, you know, we might have gone to a camera shop or something like that to say, would you like to host this event? It makes sense for you because you sell camera equipment. Another thing to think about when you're talking to businesses about being sponsors is making it easy for them. And so I just realized I actually did slides on each of these points, so I should use them. So when you're finding the win-win, let me go back to that point. Businesses want to associate their name with a cause that is popular and that people care about and they think is important. And so if they associate their name with pollinators, hopefully they'll get a lot of goodwill back from the community for doing that. Sometimes rather than giving you money, they might be able to offer you a venue, and that might be the perfect thing that you need. They might be able to offer you food or drinks or plants or equipment or access to their network. So it's not always about the money. Sometimes there's something else that's just as valuable as money. They may be able to help you extend your audience by sharing your promotional materials. They might be a place where there's a lot of traffic flow, people coming and going, and they'll keep a stack of your brochures there, and they'll put up posters and help you get the word out. Or when they're advertising, they may put a little plug for your event on their advertisements. And that would be really expensive if you had to pay for it, so that can be a real bonus. And then when you're thinking about how much to ask for a sponsorship, you know, you don't want to nickel and dime it, $25 here, $50 there. You'll wear out your volunteers really, really quickly with all the bookkeeping and the solicitation and that sort of thing. And so, you know, I would never ask for less than $100, and, you know, you may even want to ask for much more than that, but never below $100. And then I'm seeing all kinds of spelling errors today. and the solicitation itself, because this is a low-risk way to get your volunteers involved with fundraising, everybody knows some kind of business that they're familiar with and that they have friends at. And so if you get your volunteers involved, if you ask them, can you go out and get one sponsorship, and they have the paperwork that they can just hand to the prospective business, that's an easy way, because most of us don't like fundraising. But that's not such a tough one to do, especially if somebody's already given you the paperwork that explains what the sponsorship entails. So the next thing you want to think about is, how do you make it easy? And so if you have some kind of an agreement that details what the sponsorship is all about, the businesses really appreciate that. They don't want to have to guess what you're thinking, what they're being expected to do, when they're supposed to be where. You know, they don't want to guess any of that. They're busy people just like us. And if you just spell it all out in a one-pager, that'll really make it easier for them to decide if it's something that fits with their goals or not. So some of the things you might want to articulate in that agreement is whether or not you'll give their representative an opportunity to speak. They might be the one who introduces the speaker, for example, or, you know, you can figure that out. But you might give them 5 free tickets if they're a sponsor at a certain level, or 10 free tickets, or, you know, if it's a ticketed event. And then you can have different levels. You can have platinum and silver and gold and whatever. I've always tried to think of levels for pollinators, and I can't decide which pollinator is more important than another, so I've never been able to do that. So their logo, you definitely want to put their logo on things, and you'll certainly see on our rat card for last year for Asheville, we had Ingalls and Tupelo Honey's logo. They were our two lead sponsors, and each one gave us $2,000, which really, really helped us out. We did not hustle for other sponsorships last year. We got just a few smaller event-specific sponsorships. But for the whole week, when you realize that you don't have a lot of room on a rat card to put logos for sponsors, I just don't think it's fair to the sponsor to put them along with 20 other logos. But you see that a lot, and businesses continue to do that, and you'll see a T-shirt with 50 logos on it. So maybe that is a good way to do it, but it takes a lot of work to make all those phone calls and work that out. So personally, I prefer to get just a handful of larger sponsors than, you know, a boatload of small sponsors. In the case of Ingalls in particular, they were really good about cross-promoting us. And so they have 203 stores, and they put our BCUSA logo on all of their newspaper ads. They invited us to come talk with them on radio shows. They invited us to events, to be a part of their events. And so they were a wonderful partner as a sponsor. So you can get really creative with how you want to work together. And then lastly, you really want to thank your sponsors. And you can never thank anybody enough. So all those ways listed there are ways to thank sponsors, but it's just really hard to overdo it. so I won't read those to you.
Are you using Ingles again this year for your sponsor? Are they
going to
be your year? Like,
they've been our sponsor since 2014, I think. And so as long as they're interested in sponsoring, we love to have them.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just so you know, these are our tentative plans for Asheville for 2017. And we are making a transition because BCUSA and BCampus USA are just growing and growing and growing. And I'm running all over the country doing presentations and going to conferences and that sort of thing. In fact, I was invited by the Smithsonian to come speak for Earth Day. Now, I'm one of, like, you know, almost 100 speakers, so that's not as impressive as it sounds, but it was a great honor. So I asked Asheville Greenworks if they would consider taking over responsibility for leading the Asheville efforts, and they agreed to do that. So this is a transitional year for us, and so we're trying to work together. Hopefully next year I won't be involved at all, but I'm a little bit involved this year. So you can see that things are starting to come together. The Collider, I don't know if you've heard about it in Asheville. Yeah, they're all about building resilience to climate change. And so a lot of different nonprofits and for-profits are involved with the Collider. And so they have an event, a movie night every month that's hosted by Oscar Blues Brewery. And so we're talking to them about having a movie either May 29th and or June 27th that has to do with pollinators. And so those are the two movies that we've suggested. And then all month, North Carolina Arboretum has this exhibit, The Winged Wonders, Step into the World of Butterflies. June 3rd, B.B. Barnes invited me to speak again, as I did last year. Then on June 15th, the Asheville Renaissance, who has been doing a kickoff party for us every year, wants to have a concert this year in honor of Pollinator Week, and that's not definite yet. We're all of this is tentative. June 18th, I don't know if you've ever gone to a chalk festival. You get all these artists out on the street, but the theme is going to be flowers and pollinators, and so we're hoping that's going to come together. June 22nd, Sarah McKinney's going to do some bee storytelling at the West Asheville Library targeted at kids. And we always try to make sure we have something for kids as well as adults. And then I'm trying to twist Kim's arm to do Tales from the Monarchy about monarch butterflies, because so many people are going down to Mexico to the sanctuaries to see the butterflies overwintering there. And so just targeting those people, if not the public at large, to share stories about that experience would be a wonderful event. And then for the past two or three years, we've been doing a bee decal swarm in downtown Asheville. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but I meant to bring a decal with me. I have one on the back of my car, but I forgot. But they're just white static cling decals of honeybees that we put up all with the permission of shop owners downtown to bring attention to the fact that it's Pollinator Week. And they love them, and they're supposed to give them back, but they love them so much that a lot of them keep them, so some of them have been there all year. But when you do a lot of them at once, it makes people go, what's going on? Why are all these bees everywhere? So they've proven to be really, really popular. And then Buzzin' for Bees in Foodtopia, you've got a little tent card on your table about Buzzin' for Bees in Foodtopia. We call Asheville Foodtopia. And there's a lot of events that get restaurants involved for a cause. There's they do something for Brother Wolf. They do something for the HIV/AIDS group. Blue Ridge Parkway does something, the Blue Ridge Parkway Foundation. Just lots of groups are raising money through the restaurants. And our twist on it was that we were hoping that we would use that occasion to make the diners more aware of how important the bees are and the pollinators are to their diets. So you'll see that the little tent card in front of you has some educational information on it. It has an appeal for them to donate to Bee City USA. And I forget what else is on that card. But I have to tell you that we had mixed success last year with Buzzin' for Bees. It was our first year. And the truth is that in restaurants, they've got so many people involved with a restaurant at any given moment. You have the hostess, you have the manager, you have the day manager, the night manager, you have the owner, you have the chef, you have the wait staff. And so try as we might to get the message out about how it worked, and they all agreed to do it. We had something like 11 different restaurants that agreed to do it, that were going to give a percentage back of a special featured item to support Bee City USA. It barely paid for itself. It barely paid for the printing of these items. And we gave them all a bag of our famous antenna. And we got feedback that they just thought the antenna were kind of silly, which broke our heart.
The kids like them.
And we gave them a bag of wings that the wait staff could wear, and they didn't like that too much either. They wanted something more chic. And chic costs money. So I'm not sure what we're going to do this year about Foodtopia. We're still debating whether or not we want to involve the restaurants that way. We have one brewery, Twin Leaf Brewery, who's supported us for 3 or 4 years. They do a special brew every year, and they've just been wonderful. So Kim was asking me about pairing up for that, maybe having Hendersonville and Asheville both do some kind of a restaurant appeal to support pollinator work. So we're still talking about it. I'm not sure where that's going to end up. And that was my last slide. Well, that is my last slide. A friendly male monarch butterfly there. You can tell because the little dots on the back are where their pheromone glands, the little black dots. The females don't have those. So any questions or comments or suggestions?
You've learned a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
We've been doing this since 2013.
Okay, so I guess our question is how we can help Kim and their
I think
their group.
Yeah, we see this as a great opportunity for this committee and the city's committee to partner and kind of divide and conquer to make Bee City a great event in Hendersonville, Henderson County. So we last year we didn't get as much of a head start as we needed, so we're hoping this year early planning and efforts will help. So we appreciate you sharing all this with us. This is really inspiring and gives us lots of food for thought.
Well, and Kim and, of course, Mac Brackett, right? I'm sure they would love to partner any way that you want to. That's fantastic that you want to get involved.
Great.
And I just we'll close by saying that whenever people ask me, you never want to say that one affiliate is better than another. But honestly, Hendersonville is knocking it out of the park. It is just incredible what Hendersonville is doing for pollinators.
Have you heard about the proposed pollinator gardens that they want to put in on Oak Street in South Grove?
Now, your city attorney contacted me. Is that the same project? Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
I think they proposed another one. I can't remember the exact location.
Yeah, that's some serious acreage.
It's not being used for anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, and we need to get the invasives out and the natives in. So what a great way to use that spot. Well, thank you all. Thank you for having me. And I'm not sure what I should do here. Can I just take it out? Or
let me hit eject first just to make sure you don't lose any.
Okay.
Did you guys get to go to any of the pollinator stuff last week? Last year?
Yeah, I did. I went to hear Heather Holmes.
Okay.
and I met Phyllis at the Home and Garden Show. And
right, at the Ag Center.
Oh, yeah, the Ag Center. Isn't there another one of those coming up, or did it die?
I also went to the invasive species removal
with the Hickory Neck Gorge.
Oklahoma Trail.
Oh, that
was that just a couple
our
of
mayor n- was there.
That's wonderful.
Multiflower rose out.
That's wonderful.
And her husband.
That's super.
Good.
Now, some, I mean, you know, it's hard to rank what the biggest threats are to biodiversity mm-hmm. and to pollinators, but invasives are right up there. It's a huge problem that's under, it's just not talked about enough because mm-hmm. people have sort of given up hope. But it's, and I did just see a study by a German researcher who has been doing this longitudinal study on an island off the coast of Africa of removing invasives to see if the natives would come back and what it did to the pollinator populations. They did regenerate, and the diversity of the pollinators was incredible. Where he had some control sites where he didn't do anything and some sites where he intervened, and the contrast was stark.
Gosh, if we could use the kudzu eradication programs, tie that in, because you really shouldn't remove vegetation without replacing it.
Yeah, because that would be you have erosion.
A nice marriage.
Yep.
Huntersville does have kudzu.
Everywhere.
Flat Rock was trying to get rid of it.
So didn't you contact Kim? Wasn't she going to try to be here?
She was presenting at somewhere in Tryon this afternoon at until 3 o'clock, so there was no way she was going to make
right.
it.
Right.
Glad well, that your schedule worked out.
I didn't know Jeremy didn't. Yeah. Is everybody signed up for our BCUSA e-newsletter?
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phyllis.
Have a safe drive back.
So. I will mention.
I'll see you soon.
Yeah. I wonder if this is. Good luck to your sister.
Thank you.
I think this is recording. I don't know. I will mention just a couple of points. I just emailed our county attorney to double check with what kind of role you all can play as a committee mm-hmm. in actually either going out to these restaurants and getting sponsorships or organizing events, or I need to know what you're allowed to do.
Yeah, or
there's nothing in our bylaws. So I'm going to get clarification on that and I'll let you know. I have been recently asked by the county manager and by Marcus, my supervisor, to see if we can figure out a way to get some information from the DOT, who does the roadside beautification projects where they have plantings of pollinator, or I guess it's just wildflowers, really.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he just asked me to look into that and see what we could figure out. And I went through this route last time this year
mm-hmm.
and went to the tree board because they'd bought a bunch of plants and needed somewhere for them to go, and I staked out some spots with Kim Bailey actually, and then what ended up happening was I had support to do it, but I had no one to maintain it once it was done, and that continues to be the problem on my end as far as putting some of these things together. So it may be that the city's pollinator, I don't know what you're calling it, Mike, the big
pollinator preserve.
The pollinator preserve. It may be that you guys end up having a really great case study that we can look at and kind of mirror on some of our own properties.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do is leave it more natural and not really turn it into a park for people.
Yeah.
Kind of just want to have it as a, you know, remove invasives, put in native plants, and then just kind of let it grow and be natural.
That would be an ideal situation for us, if
yeah.
I can find some space. Same
here.
Same with our Parks Department folks.
Yeah.
So
you might be able to use the folks over at the park in Flat Rock, because I think they're trying to do the same thing. I mean, they just put down black plastic to, and then took it away, and asters and, you know, native species
that would
popping
be better.
Popping up.
Yeah.
And one of the goals that I have for Coons Farm Park, which you're going to talk about in a few minutes on your agenda, but one of the goals that I have for that is to establish a native plant garden at the bottom part of where the Riverwalk Trail would be
mm-hmm.
and put pollinator gardens in there. So
I've already had some folks from CMLC and some other folks in the community commit to helping pull invasives and figure out what, I'm not sure what the original native habitat there was because it's been in farmland for decades. So kind of have to do some digging and some research to figure out what it should be, what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So that will be a place for that. But I think that there's definitely momentum, and now that that one county in Michigan or wherever, Maryland, you know, I'm sure that at the county level, if we could meet some of the requirements and make sure that you all, as this committee, could be the vehicle for helping to put all that together, you know, we could maybe at some point apply for the Beast City as a county.
Yeah.
I think we'd have support for it, especially as one of our commissioners is a beekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
But it would take some work on our part just to make sure we can maintain the certification.
True.
So so it's something to think about, but as far as getting involved with Bee City pollinator celebration this summer, I'll get some clarification on what role we can have.
That'd be great.
So
yeah.
That's all I have.
Yeah, okay. Last year I think Kim and them like scheduled everything, and I went and volunteered at two different places.
Yeah.
I mean, so even if they need our extra hands, would be
of course
something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we do have some venues, I'll give them a second, some venues and outlets for social media and getting things pushed out to the community through some of our communications, but, you know, it just kind of depends on what level we're involved.
Right.
That we can do that, so.
Do you have any direction, Rachel, on how we should handle, well, I guess first, so these are letters of support that I hope I wasn't being too presumptive, but I figured once we talked about it, you guys would ask me to write a draft letter, so I went ahead and wrote a draft letter. But so basically this is, one of those letters is the Okalawa Extension. We heard from Friendsville Okalawa last month, and then after the meeting, Rebecca Robinson from CMLC sent an email to Rachel and myself to ask if we would consider writing a letter of support. And she sent us a copy of the letter that the Transportation Advisory Committee had sent to the commissioners. Theirs is a little more direct, I would say. You know, their role, they do actually promotion to the, what's the name of the organization?
The MPO.
MPO, yeah,
the
so.
The Regional Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they we have a little bit of different
your support isn't in as the technical a sense.
There you go. So I wrote this basically coming at it from what we've talked about. You know, we are looking at ways to get more people out in the environment, get people educated in the environment, and we've also, you know, with our Greenway letter of support we wrote a year ago, basically, and so that's kind of where I got this from. The Coons Farm Park is one that Rachel reported to us in our January meeting about. It's over there across from Westfield Park with the river walk to the Horticultural Research Center for NC State, and so this was this request. Something Rachel and I talked about. So again, just bringing a draft to you guys for consideration. We can't vote on it today, so that's where I was wondering, how should we just talk about our next meeting and
maybe
can you do email voting?
Yeah, email voting. And wasn't there a time consideration with one of these?
There was a time consideration with the last one we did for the Part F grant. The
so your letter for Coons Farm, I'm also using for grants. That's why.
I think the only hitch, the only hitch that I can think of with an e-vote is we have to get 100% participation. So it can't be just, you know, majority rules.
Mm.
We've got to get everybody to respond, which I'm not saying is impossible, but you know, there's just, it just adds a little bit of difficulty. What we could do, I suppose, is send it out to the committee and say, you know, we couldn't vote today because of the lack of quorum. Would you take a look? And if everybody's comfortable, let's go ahead and vote. And if we hear back from everyone and they say, well, we want to talk about it in March, it needs more discussion, we could go from there.
I'm good.
Yeah, the Coombe Farm Park, I'm applying for a grant that's due April 1st. So
okay.
Sorry, I should have asked you earlier, but.
It's all right.
I'm in a series of grants.
Yeah.
So you'd have to do an email with that and get everyone's approval to have their stuff in time.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
Mm. I thought last time you did a letter that everybody ended up replying enough that you had comments to come to the meeting and vote on it or something like that.
That's right, yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Yeah, so we'll go with that and just. I'll say it in the email when I send it out. Just reply all with your comments, suggestions, what have you, so everybody gets the benefit of that interaction. Does anyone have any questions about these?
We like what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No misspelled words.
Hey. I read aloud before I hit press send. Okay, well, and then we were just talking about mulch earlier, but Kim and I were talking about mulch, so the city's got mulch, is it just this week?
Today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Okay.
I have to for pickup?
Mm-hmm. From 3:30 to 7, today, tomorrow, and was it 8 to 12?
I think that's right, yeah.
It was 8 to 12 on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's at the wastewater treatment facility,
yeah.
Which is...
It's on Williams
Street? Balfour?
Balfour, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it Balfour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you...
Down by Kimberly Clark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's Balfour. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, made my garden very happy last year. Yeah.
Compost and mulch.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, 2015 compost they said.
Wow. So, do you have aged. To show them anything?
Nope.
Just drive up.
Honor system. It was like $7 for a load or something like that. It was.
I don't remember.
It was really reasonable.
What's
I mean,
a load?
I got a pickup truck full and a trailer full. I mean.
You they know, just start. It's they had the bucket. Backhoe and just start throwing it in.
Yeah.
So
you really need a pickup truck.
Yeah. I mean, you could do like trash bags of it or something if you want it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Or line your trunk with a tarp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Well, the van we usually.
There you go.
Put in the big.
Yeah, it's from 8 to noon Saturday.
8 to noon.
8 to noon on Saturday, and 3:30 to 7 Thursday and Friday.
Oh. Next week.
This week. Today.
Today.
Today, darn. Tomorrow, and Saturday.
Darn. Saturday.
They said that it will continue until May.
There it is right there.
If there's some left.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you want their phone number?
Sure.
Here's the 697? Thing about it right here.
Yeah, there's a phone number.
697.
3084.
It's really small on there, but it's really big. There.
And who is it actually we're calling?
I think it's the wastewater.
Public Works.
Yeah, Public Works.
Did it have any red wibblers in there?
I didn't see any. I was excited. Although somebody told me when I got it, they said, watch out, there's going to be full of weeds. But I really did not have to pull weeds. I put it in raised beds, and it did just fine. So.
Well, pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
I just have a couple of very quick announcements from the kind of recycling and solid waste side of things that I do. We're going to start having our annual household hazardous waste and paint recycling programs coming up. Oh, that's not good. Mm-mm. That's supposed to be a link. Not good. Okay, well, that one worked. Anyway, I have copies of flyers right here if you would like to take any with you. We're going to have them The second Tuesday, March, April, May, from 8:30 to 12, HHW is collected at the Convenience Center, and paint will be collected at the same time, but at the transfer station. Same rules as always apply. And then we'll have three events this fall. I'm not having any summer events, so if you want to take any copies, it's a set. There's two pages, because one's paint and one's HHW. So those are coming out. Please spread the word. The other thing that I wanted to share with you that I talked about at our meeting last time was that we'd be launching a recycling user survey, and that just came out yesterday. It's live right now. If you go to hcrecycles.org, I've got the link right here under this thing. Tell us how you recycle. Take the survey. So if you go to hcrecycles.org and you click on this, it's going to bring you to a SurveyMonkey link, and you have 13 questions to answer. They don't take a lot of thought. They're mostly yes, no, sometimes maybe, always, never kind of deal. And what we're trying to do with this user survey is gauge the types of users that we have, try and gauge how they participate in the recycling programs we offer at the Convenience Center, and whether or not folks would be interested in participating in some of the new offerings that we're trying to bring online. So, again, just 13 questions. There is also a space at the end of it for you to just leave any other comments that you'd like to share with us. This survey is going to be open from now until May 31st, and then I'll turn it off. And then hopefully I'll be compiling kind of a story and a bigger picture of what recycling means to people in our community. So this is really geared more so towards Convenience Center users, but by all means, I would love for City of Hendersonville curbside pickup users to take it, because there are some questions in there about if you have curbside pickup, do you also use the Convenience Center? So we're trying to just get an mm-hmm. idea of who our users are respectively, and then how do they use our programs. So if you'll just please let everybody know, take the survey. You can only take it one time. That would really, really be helpful to get as many responses as possible.
And I'm sorry, I missed it. I think I did. So your folks are just going there by word of mouth to HC Recycles?
I put out a press release.
Okay.
It's going on Facebook.
Perfect.
I'm telling you guys, I'm actually going to be going to the Convenience Center and asking random people
nice.
As often as I can get there to do that.
Nice.
And then entering their responses into the survey. So, yeah, we'll be trying to get as much data collection from people as we can. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, word of mouth is really, I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
That seems, the press release usually seems to help a lot.
Gotcha.
And then I'll also put some kind of flyer at the libraries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going in the Lightning as well as?
It goes to a huge list of media. So it just depends on who will pick it up. Because it was released yesterday, like the survey went live yesterday, and the press release went out yesterday afternoon. I don't know when it will be published, but I'm hoping I don't get a call from WLOS to do an interview with them at 4 in the morning, because I'm probably going to say no. Because they like to have that early morning news. And I'm like, I just don't. That's just, it's dark. There's just no need for that. Anyway, so this is the thing right here. So I just wanted to share that with you. And we also, as a department, have all of the county departments have submitted budgets to the county manager's office for consideration for next year, fiscal year 17-18. And there'll be a much bigger budget workshop with the commissioners later in the spring, and then they'll be voting on that before June is closed, when the new fiscal year begins, July 1. So some of the things that we're looking to do and some of the changes we're looking to make are part of that budget proposal. So we'll just kind of have to see how things go. There's a lot of really, really big items throughout both the city and the county coming up for next year. So we will see.
Is that when the program that Marcus mentioned last month or month before would start, the two-stream or single-stream?
The single-stream, that's right. It's going to start July 31st regardless
okay.
of the budget. It'll change efficiencies and budget with our recycling facility, but we're going to change over to that system anyway. So another thing to be looking out for this summer is I'm going to be doing a really big marketing campaign to kind of push our new single stream collection with glass removed at the Convenience Center.
Nice.
So just listen out for that, because it's going to take a few months for people to get it in their heads. Now I don't have to sort three times, I can just sort two.
Right.
So, and we also are hoping, and again, this is a piece of the budget, but we're hoping to get our six to 12 month pilot organics collection at the convenience center for drop off, pass through. And apparently, I'm supposed to say food waste, not organics. So, whatever rings a bell with you, it's food waste. So, that I'm pretty sure is all I've got.
All right. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
So, this is our, we do it every month, but we seem to like meeting and need to meet every month.
Please
so,
do.
Again, you guys have any issue with meeting on the first Thursday of next month?
Nope. All right.
We'll just heckle everybody who wasn't here this month.
you don't have a choice in the matter.
That's right.
You should have been here.
That's right. We were doing big stuff, learning about B-City. okay. Any other anything else discussion wise, questions for the good of the cause?
Yeah, I think we should get in contact with Kim sometime.
Kim Bailey?
Yeah, when you find out what we can do
mm-hmm.
okay.
to help.
Okay.
So we can get working on that. Because
yeah.
that's, what, 2 months, 3 months away? But I'm sure they'll start putting things in hard copies
I bet
in the
so.
Next 2 months.
Is that do you know if the ESB is already talking about B City
yeah,
at this point?
About it
okay.
The last couple months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a good time to get us
yeah,
together
get
again.
On the same page of getting stuff started earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah, it was crazy last year.
Yeah.
Okay. I got an announcement from the ESB in the city. We're starting a rain barrel program.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, everything's done. So we have a website. I'll send a link to Ryan or Rachel.
Perfect.
So you go to the website, order the rain barrel, and you can pick it up at Garden Jubilee.
Nice.
So all the information is on there.
Sweet.
$8 for their made in North Carolina in Raleigh. 100% recycled material. Yeah.
What size?
50 gallons.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Presenting to City Council tonight for their approval, and we'll be ready to go.
Nice. Okay.
Everybody
good luck.
Wants a rain barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. I'll send that email. It probably won't be this evening, but I'll try to get out tomorrow so we can get
the
support.
Letters.
The letters, yeah.
I can send it today.
Okay.
You want me to go ahead?
Here,
yeah. Put your copies back.
So we want to review it and vote via email if possible.
I have one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, unless somebody sees edits they want to see in there, I mean, we can.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but you guys need a copy of this?
Yeah, I'm going to hang yours up at work.
Thank you. Yeah.